In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today, as on last Sunday, the Gospel of St. Luke speaks to us of a Samaritan. Last Sunday, our Lord told to the expert of the law the story of the Good Samaritan. Today, we hear the history of our Lord healing 10 lepers, of which one is a Samaritan. From both these Sundays, the fathers of the church draw an allegorical and also a moral lesson. If we consider the allegory, last Sunday's Good Samaritan signified our Savior and the grace of the new covenant, which provided healing where the old law could not. Today, the Samaritan leper of the gospel signifies the one who is healed by grace, the Christian, who thanks God for his redemption, while the Jews are indifferent. This is the lesson we find again and again in the Gospels. The old covenant could not save anyone. It brought knowledge of sin, but not healing from it. The redemption of Christ alone brings salvation to all men, Jew or Gentile, who receive it humbly and gratefully. As for the moral sense of each passage, last Sunday teaches us to imitate the Good Samaritan and practice the corporal and spiritual works of mercy. Today we are exhorted to imitate the healed Samaritan and show gratitude. Along with arrogance, there is no attitude which we find more displeasing in others than ingratitude. We all have a lively sense of when the slightest good we have done is not properly appreciated. We do well to note that this fault is not at all to be found, for it never could be, in the words of our Savior today. Christ does not express any indignation over the 9 other lepers neglecting to thank him. His words are, "Has no one been found to return and give glory to God except this foreigner?" Our Lord is true God and true man. As God, he deserves the worship which the Samaritan pays to him. As man, he is humble and demands no honor for himself. He is jealous only for the rights of his eternal Father. Our deep resentment of ingratitude in others blinds us to the same fault in ourselves. Who among us can honestly say that he gives sufficient thought to all the good that others have done for him and takes the time to show them his appreciation? And if we fail so miserably to be truly grateful to our neighbor, how lacking must we be in our gratitude towards Almighty God? We know that thanksgiving is one of the 4 ends of prayer. We pray in order to adore God, to thank him for his benefits, to beg pardon for our sins, and to ask for all things necessary for our spiritual good. Today, then, I have one question for you in particular. Of all the benefits God has bestowed upon you, how often do you consider the greatest benefit of all? How often do you take the time to thank God for having made you a Catholic? Good Samaritan that he is, he found you on the wayside, mortally wounded from original sin. He cared for you, taking the burden of your sins upon himself. He washed you with holy baptism and poured wine and oil into your wounds, nourishing you with the sacraments throughout your life. He brought you to the inn, his church, and entrusted you to the innkeeper, the hierarchy, having instructed them to care for you. By the tuppence he left them, his twofold commandment of love. Anything over and above this, all the sufferings and persecutions of this life, will be reckoned in full upon his triumphant return. Who deserves your thanks more than this sweet Savior of ours? This obligation of gratitude is very much on my mind as I consider God's benefits toward me over these past 30 years. It was on the Easter Vigil of 1996 in Holy Cross Cathedral in Boston, Massachusetts, that I was touched by the saving waters of baptism. I had presumably been duly prepared by the necessary catechesis, but with all I was to learn in the coming years, I might as well have been a baby. 3 years later, I would attend my first Latin Mass, and from that moment on, I knew I had but one calling in life. 4 years after that, I found myself in an obscure town in the middle of a state which I had only flown over in the past, Wausau, Wisconsin. I had come here as a seminary candidate, a term none of my friends or family had ever heard of, with a religious community none of them had heard of either. After a few months, I was already bidding farewell to St. Mary's in Wausau, and the kindly bulletin blurb sent me off with prayers and good wishes as I headed off to Italy to begin the long road to the priesthood. I was grateful for my time here and hoped that one day I would be able to return to give thanks. That opportunity came on the 13th Sunday after Pentecost, 2011. As I nervously prepared my first sermon to you, I could not but marvel at the work of Providence in setting today's gospel before me. Has no one been found to return and give thanks to God but this stranger? If I was a stranger to many of you then, I hope I am so no longer. After 14 years with you, my cause for gratitude is all the greater. I am grateful to Almighty God for placing me here as rector of St. Mary's and keeping me here for so long. I have been granted a consolation which not many priests ever have, the wonder of seeing God's grace working in the lives of the priest's flock over such a long course of years, to baptize children and then give them the adorable body of Christ, to prepare them for confirmation and still be here to witness their marriage or see them off to seminary or the convent, to teach people, young and old, the faith and go on to benefit from their good example. It is a reminder that all is grace, all is love through our Lord Jesus Christ. Without him, we can do nothing. I firmly believe that one day, the true faith and sacred worship which is showered upon us so richly here at St. Mary's will be restored throughout the earth. The Church in her resurrection will outshine the greatest glory she had before her passion. We must love the Church and pray for the hierarchy, for we do not save her, she saves us. Yet we may well believe that her resurgence will come through us, through God's grace and our littleness. Thank the Lord at all times for his benefits. But above all, be that one out of 10 and thank him on your knees for having made you a Catholic right here and now in this world gone mad, when you can be simple, humble, and a fool for Christ's sake. Divine wisdom tells us what our lot shall be. Then shall the just stand with great constancy against those that have afflicted them and taken away their labors. These seeing it shall be troubled with terrible fear and shall be amazed at the suddenness of their unexpected salvation, saying within themselves, repenting and groaning for anguish of spirit, these are they whom we had some time in derision and for a byword of reproach. We fools esteemed their life madness and their end without honor. Behold how they were numbered among the children of God, and their lot is among the saints. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.